Welcome to Chamber Chat, a monthly look at the Northfield business community, sponsored by the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. And here is your host, the president of the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce, Jane Barthow.
Folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
Good morning, Jane Barthow. How are you?
Good morning, Rich Larson. I'm good.
Good.
Happy, I brought a guest.
You did. a guy I've had a chance to talk with for about 2 minutes out in the green room, but Mr. Troy Solis.
Yes.
Solis?
Yes, Solis.
Solis. We're going to have you speak into that microphone. There you go. Of Solis Technology, correct?
Solutions, that's correct.
Okay, all right. Real quick, how's everything over the chamber, Jane?
Oh, it's good and busy.
Yeah?
I love being right there on Bridge Square. There is so much going on down there.
There's a lot going on.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeff and I were talking during the morning show today that we tend to pack everything into like 3 months in the summer in Minnesota because there's nothing to do in February ever. But these 2 or 3 weeks in July especially, like there's not enough time in the day to do everything you want to do because there's so much going on. And we're going to talk about one of the chamber's biggest days of the year in a little bit.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I would imagine you do. But before we get there, tell us a little bit why you brought Troy with you today.
Well, I thought you'd never ask. So about 2 years ago, for those of you who aren't familiar with our stakeholder members, actually 3 years ago now.
Almost, yeah.
Well, COVID came through. We were looking, we pivoted like everybody else. We didn't have the networking events. We didn't have anything in person, obviously. And we were trying to figure out ways to enhance memberships, make them personable, make them customized,
sure.
I guess, and to individually meet the needs of those community stakeholders who have been staples in the community for years.
Yeah.
And, so we've designed a stakeholder level member, and it kind of goes, one of my favorite pieces of that is, well, I guess we haven't even got that far yet. Yeah. The just the ability to raise that business up into the community, show the whole community what these individual stakeholders mm-hmm. do mm-hmm. to give back, to support, to sponsor, to give back, to partner on many different levels with many different businesses. And it pleases me that they believe in the chamber, that we're there to help the smaller businesses as well.
Right.
So Troy has been a stakeholder since darn near day one, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And not only is he a stakeholder, but he is our IT guy.
Oh, fantastic.
Our IS guy.
Yeah.
Troy's taught me, well, he's tried. He's tried to teach me about the cybersecurity piece and how he partners with businesses specifically on the cybersecurity, which is so important and so beyond me right now.
Right.
All the things and all the safety nets he's put into place, and not just for my staff, but for all of our members, because we've got. I mean, we don't save credit cards. We don't have the financial pieces on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just nice to know and nice to be able to tell our members that we've got that added security for all their information in our software systems.
Okay. Well, I've got about a million questions, Troy, that I want to ask you.
Happens.
But let's start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Troy.
Sure. Not retired, but I spent 8 years in U.S. Navy and
okay.
electronics background from that. We typically, when I got out, I was a medical device IT guy.
Mm-hmm.
As an IT person in that industry, I learned a lot about every different department, marketing and sales and so on. And I learned that those are really businesses within the business, really. So they have different personalities and attitudes and the way they want things done. So typically we... when approaching a business in their different industries, where I've learned how to handle those personalities, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I've been in IT for over 20 years now. And with my staff, we've got staff of that has about 50 years of experience total.
Right.
And so we've got the best team I could ever have, and we're looking forward to helping businesses realize their security risk and guide them into a solution that helps them and their customers be more secure.
I need to ask you about the Navy real quick, because
yes,
I come from a Navy family. My dad was a Navy man. I've got at least a dozen friends that were in the Navy that have come out, and of those, like 85% of them have gone into IT. Is there something?
Oh,
is there something
really?
About time in the Navy that just points a person to want into the
sure.
information technology area?
I think my answer to you would be what my father said when I was deciding where to go, and he says, "Whatever you do in the military, do something technical."
Right.
And the Air Force, and he was Air Force of 12 mm-hmm. years, and I was I decided to go Navy, because I had a brother that was in the Navy as well. And that path guided me to a technical path,
sure,
which was electronics technician. And that's where I learned a lot about electronics and how they operate and what is good and what is bad for components and circuitry and all that stuff. So I kind of geeked out on that a long time ago
got
me into the medical device industry as well.
Outstanding.
So, yeah.
Outstanding. Okay, so... Solis Information Solutions.
Yep.
Okay. Within that, what are your strengths? Where do you guys really like to focus your energies?
On securing our customers' risk.
Okay.
Every business and in every industry has their own types of risk,
mm-hmm.
and we help. And unless they regularly assess their risk, they don't understand what their needs are. In the sense where you got email risk, you got email lists, you got financial risk,
right?
Some companies need vendor management, where their vendors are a big risk as well, because
yep.
they have contact, or they are able to get into the data that the vendor has access to their
right.
customer or
right.
their industry, the company's risk. So
right.
Data. So the point is really, what is our risk, and how can I help them identify that and secure it, teach them how to use the tools, guide them into being able to just lock it down, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really stop a hack, but you can mitigate that risk.
Sure. What you say just rings so true to me that, unless you're constantly evaluating
mm-hmm.
your situation, you don't really know what you don't know what you don't know,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And
you're not too small to get hacked, but you're too small to get in the news.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's got to be a pretty good level of trust between you and your clients, because you're coming to them and saying, I know you're not aware of this, but these are the issues that we're looking at, and now we're going to fix this for you so you can feel better, even though how do you approach all of this? Or do people come to you and say, I know that there's just bad stuff happening and I just need some help? Or how does that all
it's
work?
It's a whole mix of how we get approached, or how we are able to talk to our customers. Or prospects. It's really about identifying the need, or showing them there is risk or potential mm-hmm. risk that they need to take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot. We don't try to force ourselves upon anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're more about, hey, let's help you.
Yeah.
Here's what things look like.
Right.
So,
how often are people coming to you after the fact? Like, oh, it was bad. We had a bad situation. We lost whatever. And
I've only run into that twice in
my
career.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good.
But that's called incident response. And
okay.
So if we do incident response to those that did get hacked,
mm-hmm.
however, it doesn't happen where we are. We're not actually marketing towards that right now. So
okay.
if it happens to somebody comes to us for that, we'll help them out. So.
Are there specific industries that you guys like to work with?
At this time, we're looking towards marketing at the companies that handle money, auto dealerships, or CPAs, payroll companies,
mm-hmm.
even loan companies.
Sure.
So that we can help them secure the risk. There's a rule called the Federal Trade Commission Safeguards Rule that changed in early, in June, late June, that is applying if you don't practice securing your customer's risk, if you don't have a good posture and they get, and you get hacked, they can now fine you big time in addition to the cost to recover.
Really?
Yeah. So we're trying to, we want to get out there and tell the public more about that information, that rule, so they can understand that there may be something they need to do.
So liability has increased.
Right. Okay. Exactly. And things are changing. Insurance changes a lot. Cybersecurity insurance is very important to have these days. With that, you have to comply to that insurance. If you get hacked and you're not complying to your insurance policy, they're not going to cover you.
Is that right?
You're stuck with all the cost. Yeah. So
you can no longer say you don't know what you don't know.
Wow. And things are just going to change over time. The federal government's probably going to enforce companies like mine to do different things, do things differently.
Sure.
So we're really trying to stay on top of how, you know, what should be done for any industry and help them out.
So. Okay. So something else I know precious little about cybersecurity. I know enough to get myself in deep trouble, and that's it. One of the things I do know, though, is that hackers tend to sort of be out on the cutting edge of and it's as soon as someone like you figures out how to stop a hacker, they're on top. So how do you keep on top of all of that?
There's a lot of reading.
Keep abreast of it.
I have contact with a large group of cybersecurity firms that help us when we need it. We can outsource jobs to them. But there's also, hey, check this out, or you need to read this, or this is now a new thing. The other thing I want to say is cyber hackers are not experts.
Mm-hmm.
They are paid to sit in a big room with the proper tools in place, and use those tools to get into whatever they can so that they can gain information to sell on the dark web. So there's these hackers are out there. We're just trying, and we're battling. I mean, there's a lot of when I show my customers their reports of emails that have been blocked and such, they're very surprised. So that's just – and email is the – 93% of most hacks occur through an email. So that's step one, secure the email system.
Can I stop you real quick
and
just sort of ask you, how does that work? How does someone hack me through an email?
Oh, boy. You're not paying attention.
Okay. That's
your eyes aren't wide open.
Sure. Because I'm more worried about getting a loan closed for somebody or whatever. I'm not worried about...
And they know that.
Yeah.
By chance, they may know that. And or they could, you could already be hacked, and they're watching you sending messages to your loan officer that you're working with. And now they've got access to this kind of information you're trying to get to, or they're trying to get to. And then they say, well, by the way, you've been approved. Here's, sign this.
Yeah.
And, and all of a sudden you've got more information sent over to them. So
you sent me an innocuous email about whatever that I open, and that's all it takes to get malware or spyware into my system. That's all it takes.
And it takes about 120, it could take up to 120 days before they even tell you that you're hacked.
Yeah.
With a ransomware note that says your computer systems are locked, you can't do anything, it's encrypted. You can't even open a file because it's encrypted.
Right.
In order to do it, you got to pay them a ransom.
This ransom thing, I mean, that's terrifying to me. I mean,
me too.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about hospitals that get locked down, and okay, give us $25,000, or you're not getting your whatever it is. It's $25 million. You're not going to get your system back. Meanwhile, you've got people in dire need of help, and they can't do it until you get your system back up and running.
And $25,000 can hurt a small business.
$25 million
is maybe unlikely for a small business, but 25, even 10, never know. You can have some sort of impact.
Right. So. Okay, I interrupted you completely. First is email.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Email hacks. Wow, that's probably the biggest thing. Once they get in, it can translate into or transfer over to other systems.
Right.
They're watching you using your keyboard strokes and recording your passwords. They're they can do anything with their programming. So, you know, you just, my goal is to prevent that from happening.
Right.
You know, and with small business, that's the most, the biggest risk is their email systems.
Okay. So
if I'm in my email, yeah. I got a question. I got a million too.
Yeah.
But I get them. I get them anytime yeah. I want to pick up the phone and call yeah. them. if I'm hacked, can I just change my password or is it too late?
It depends on what you've done. So if you've, changing your password is a absolute good step to take. Absolutely. However, if you know you're hacked, then we need to do an incident response and see what happened. In order to know what happened, we have to have logs. And if you're not logging your email activity, sent, received, deleted, those kind of things, mm-hmm. then you can't really tell what happened. So then we have to clean your computer up. We got to wipe it. We got to do whatever okay. to clean it all up. But now the state comes in and says, a Minnesotan says, we heard you were hacked. What did you do about it? You know, or whatever yeah. they do. So yeah. there are some mandates to that you have to comply, report your hack. So there's all kinds of steps to take. So we have to determine at what level did you get hacked if you're really hacked,
mm-hmm.
you know, first. Changing password, absolutely. If it came in through email, we're absolutely going to change that. If you're a customer, we can look through logs. We can see what happened. Run cleanup scripts or whatever we got to do to make sure your computer systems are secure. So, and then go from there. So mm-hmm. really, insurance is the first thing we do is call a lawyer.
Yeah,
you know. If you have a good lawyer, we're going to call them and we're going to say this company's been hacked and we're going to need to work together to make sure that we're following the proper steps, right. steps for their customers. So,
are there law firms with whom you work?
No, I only work with the business law
yeah,
firm.
Okay.
Our client's law firm.
So you don't have any recommendations for your clients or anything like that?
I'm
not asking you to name names. I just say yeah.
It's a yes or
yeah.
no question.
Is that just something in your repertoire? I guess is the question.
No, it's not. It's a procedure.
Yeah.
Every industry has and state has their different laws and mm-hmm. guidelines and all mm-hmm. that. So we have to make sure we follow that.
Right.
Because we're dealing with people's information.
Yeah.
So not just business information. Right. Not just business finances.
I want to ask you about passwords for a second. You were talking mm-hmm. about passwords. You're working at a small business level, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about my laptop. But like, how often should I change my password? I got hacked a few years ago, and I figured out a password that I could use that I could like sort of work to whatever thing I was trying to get into, and it was a lot of random characters. Mm-hmm. But it's been 5 years maybe that I've been using that password.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to ask you. How long has it been since you changed?
Am I living in La La Land at this point?
Well, the interesting thing is NIST, which is a government agency for standards.
Yeah.
NIST has come out with a new guideline stating that you don't need to change your passwords very often.
Okay.
I don't know how to speak their language, but what they're actually saying is if you have 2FA or multi-factor authentication or you're using complex passwords,
mm-hmm.
You should be good to go. As long as you have 2FA, two-factor authentication, yep. or multi-factor authentication, you should be good.
And I'm that guy that says, yeah, but 2FA is a pain in the butt.
I know.
But
the problem is not every site... Not every email system has that implemented, and if it has the capability, you don't know if it's even turned on.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the kind of stuff we help you identify is your websites, your payroll site, for instance.
Yeah.
You go to enter your payroll or whatever if you're a business
right.
that does a big payroll, is that does that have 2FA turned on and are you using it? You know?
Yeah.
So and then your passwords can be more complex to help with that too.
Right.
So.
Right.
At work, we share, you know, well, we've got shared files, but then we will share like one Zoom
sure.
account or one Constant Contact, and we all should have access to it, and we all do. And I was trying to do an update on our e-newsletter, and it came, you know, sent a text to this number, please enter that. I'm like, oh. Shoot, you know, Kyle, is that your cell? Rachel, is that your cell? Who got a code?
Oh, man.
Or they'll just get a code and they'll send the code to the whole group, mm-hmm. going, somebody must have asked for this because I just got a pop up.
Yeah,
and you know,
it's hard.
My problem is that I've got
things have changed.
I've got probably four different emails that I use, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure which email the code went to. I can't access all those emails from my phone, or is it a text? And did my battery die on my phone? I mean, it's. Thank God for people like you, Troy, because technology is really hard for somebody like me.
Saving it, saving yourself from yourself.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
It's things have changed so much that we, you know, it's the battle. It really is. If you cannot, I wouldn't say force yourself to deal with these changes, it's going to happen naturally. Things are just going to be enforced on you, not by us, by the systems themselves, Microsoft and Zooms and all those companies mm-hmm. want you to be secure too, because they have liability as well.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure you're not hacked through their system. So they're trying to help their customers too. So
that's saving us all from
remember at the beginning of the Zooms, people were getting into other people's Zoom business actually. And
yeah.
Some of those pictures were surprising. You really had to know who you're letting in.
I can't even have that conversation.
Okay. But somebody came in and had like a war video going on their screen. It was tanks and
wow.
I felt invaded myself.
Yeah.
So we're always got to be clear on who you're letting in.
That's
and
right.
Those passwords even to get into meetings
are
so important.
How remote, being remote during COVID has changed our industry too.
Yeah.
It is just skyrocketed our industry into security. So if you consider what she just spoke about, but also think about those computers that are at home working on for their job,
mm-hmm.
working for... Which, you know, they might be using a secure connection to work, but when they turn off those computers, they might be using a personal computer too work, using VPN. When they turn off that VPN, secure connection.
What's VPN?
VPN, virtual private network.
Yes, yes, yes.
Those computers now are checking personal email, all four of them, Rich.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those emails are now, that's four times the... Let's say 350 emails per day that you get that are malware infected.
Easy. Oh, wow.
Let's just say that. Four times that, now you've got to make sure you are really aware of what you're doing. Because you can bring in that hack onto your computer, then connect to your VPN. Now that can transfer over through the VPN to your work network.
And just doing that, it gets into the VPN, and now you've infected your entire company.
Possibly, yes.
Possibly.
Possibly. It depends on the system that you're connecting to as well.
But. It makes me sometimes want to go back to the abacus.
I hear that a lot. Turn off the internet and just use pen and paper.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. But we can't. I mean, we're so far beyond that now. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Troy, so tell us then, if people you're looking for more people on the money / financial side of things, but if I've got. If I've got just, you know, if I've got a radio station, perhaps, yes, right?
Yep.
Can you help me too?
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right.
Again, we're going to start with assessing the systems first and seeing how you do things, assess the people.
We don't do anything here.
Right. And then help you realize where your risk is just so you know what needs mm-hmm. to be secured.
Okay.
So,
that's great. Mm-hmm. If people want to get a hold of you, Troy, what's the best way to do that?
You can go to our website, sol-is.com.
Okay. Solis.
Yep.
Okay.
Or they can call the chamber, too.
Oh, call Jane at the chamber.
We know how to connect.
Well, because you're probably talking to Troy once, twice a day because he's your IT guy.
Thankfully, no.
No, he's very, very receptive. He's got some great guys working mm-hmm. for him, and... sometimes they pop in, they'll ask permission if they want to get in mm-hmm. remotely on the computer, via text, phone, whatever, and they speak my language.
Let me back up for a second then. So when that happens, are you guys just doing a security update? Are you just doing a random audit? What are you doing for your clients that way?
We are, our goal is to manage our clients' IT systems and security. So we need to have agents installed on each computer that allows us to do so, including antivirus, advanced antivirus systems, backups, if necessary, backup software, securing their email systems. So we try to standardize on how we do things. So every system is connected to an authentication server where we can change passwords or help them change their passwords if necessary. Force them to change them on a regular basis, those kind of things, and force them to use pins or and just complex things anyway. So we can manage them.
I like how you gave Jade kind of a side smile there when you said pins.
Corporations, big companies have the resources to do this. Small business does not. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're there for. So we're, standardization is very key to consistent uptime, consistent service delivery, which is what our part of the things. And if we can't standardize properly, then we're going to get a lot of calls. Yeah. And so we're thankfully, things have been very smooth going because of this method. And knowing that they're secure and we're delivering everything they need is like peace of mind to me. It's like oxygen for your network. Ooh, I just got a little tagline in there.
You should use that in your marketing, sir.
For those of you who don't know, he does use that in his tagline and his branding.
Unintentionally today.
That's hilarious. That's great. Now, you are actually based out of Farmington, correct?
Yes, sir.
We don't hold that against you. We love Farmington here in Northfield. And you want to join the chamber. That's fantastic. How often do we get people outside of Northfield proper joining the Northfield Area Chamber?
That's a great question. Well, we are the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. So we currently do have Faribault, Waseca, Owatonna, Lonsdale, Nearstrand, Farmington, Lakeville. Those folks who just want to grow their own networks and grow their own business, just kind of coming out this way. As far as how often, I couldn't tell you that. Exactly. I'd have to research and plan ahead.
But if I've got a business in Owatonna, I'm free to join the Northfield Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
We really stretch when we have the Home and Garden Show. We've got a lot of Mankato.
Oh, sure.
Is it Eagle Lake? Madison Lake.
Madison Lake. Yeah.
Madison Lake. We had a few from Mankato come for that and hopefully made some business.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so we're just going to make Troy sit and be a captive audience here for a second, are you going to participate in Crazy Days?
I've been strongly encouraged, strongly considering.
That's my job.
Crazy Days is it the most wonderful time of the year? Is it the best day of the year, Jane?
It is the best day of July. Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, Winter Walk is December. I mean, all those community events are the best of.
Crazy Days. It's Winter Walk in July.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And then Defeat Days is just a blast, too. So they're all really, really good. We've got such an interactive community. And literally thousands come down for Crazy Days.
They do. So what's going on?
Thousands.
It's July 27th, correct? It's a week from Thursday. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So weather dependent. I mean, it'll go on rain or shine,
sure.
Obviously.
Right.
Right now, we've got about 40 additional people coming down, which is pretty big. We've got
41.
41. Oh, he made his
there
decision.
There it is. There's the commitment. Yay. Troy Solis.
Well, when we came in, we saw a pop-up tent out there.
Yeah.
You guys coming outside for Crazy Days?
That is for our participation in the Rice County Fair.
Sure.
I don't know exactly what we would be doing setting up on the sidewalk, but I know, because I try to avoid our marketing department like the plague. I get 20 years in
this
sales.
This is in
I
your
don't
blood,
want, I,
yes.
Yeah. We have Lance Reister, who is our sales manager, also runs Northfield Live. I would imagine that that Lance will want to participate in one. And he's got a whole staff these days.
He's got a good summer staff.
He's got some great guys working for him right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've got, you know, the typical, we've got the fire trucks coming, the EMTs coming,
awesome.
And the EMT.
Emergency
vehicles.
Okay.
They'll be set up on the south side, down by the VFW, that area, that block. We've got Shar Hamblin and John, that
yep.
oh, out the, of the, townie.
The townie bus?
Yeah, or yep, yeah, that out of tour, townie, and yeah. Trans, tour and transport van. They're going to be down there on the north side. We've
are
got.
Are they really?
The, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
They're good folks.
We've got that rock climbing wall like we did last year, yeah. So kind of fun for the kids. Kryn at the Rare Pair always has her hula hoop contest, so she's got that. I believe that's at 2. That always has a good turnout of kids. Right. It's right. Crazy. I have never in my life been able to hula hoop. And some of those kids just stand still, and it goes.
I can't do
fascinating.
It. I can't do it. I've tried.
I cannot.
I have zero coordination, though. I've got no ability whatsoever when it comes to that stuff. So.
We've got a putting green coming down at this end, just maybe just a single shot. But
you cannot put so many distractions right outside
Premier
of my...
Premier Bank. Premier Bank is planning to be down here with that. Oh, I'm lying. They're going to be down the middle of the street.
Okay.
Down closer to Hogan Brothers.
Well,
but
that's good.
Just a variety. We're going to be mapping that out. And 7 to 5. And so the streets will be cleared between 5 and 6. But the antique autos will be down on the south side. They come out annually and have all their cars parked. The Sundowner Group. And then the Jeeps.
Right.
Chad Johnson helps me get a bunch of just checked up Jeeps on the other side of the road. And
awesome.
Crazy. Those yeah. Jeeps are incredible. So that'll be going into the early evening. So basically 7 to 7, there'll be something downtown.
Fantastic.
Food trucks on Bridge Square.
Oh.
Yep. So that's... Right. Yeah, you have to come and see it for yourself.
I think I've told you this story. I went to St. Olaf College, and the summer between my sophomore and junior year, I lived in an apartment above the antique store on Division Street, and looked out. It looked right over onto Division.
Nice.
And there was no air conditioning, no airflow at all. You had to have every window in the apartment open at all times. And I woke up one morning in the middle of the summer. What is all of the what is going on? And I look out, and this was 1989. I mean, this wasn't even before Crazy Days really got rolled. But there were 1,000 people outside of my apartment. It was like walking out into the Wizard of Oz. I mean, the sleepy town of Northfield had come alive, man. Yeah.
There's good deals.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There are lines before 7. People waiting yeah. to get to the best deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's a lot of fun.
Down.
It's a lot of fun.
It is.
All right. Anything else we would like to talk about today?
This is great. I just want another plug for Troy.
Absolutely.
Literally. I mean, I am trying. I do. I try to get some of these things. Like turning my computer off every night. Really? I struggle with that.
Am I supposed to do that?
I don't remember telling her to do that.
Okay.
So all right. Supposed to.
Well, it's probably been a month.
Okay.
So, yeah,
I restart at least 3 times a week is what I recommend.
3 times a week.
Really?
I know. Mm, yeah.
Okay.
So I do try. And not to have the same password for absolutely everything. I struggle with that too, but I get it. I understand the importance of that. So
right.
He a speaks
good
my language.
Manager will help with that.
Okay. All right.
Last pass.
Mm-hmm. Can we give you the last word? What else would you like to say about what you could do for your clients that we haven't asked you about, Troy?
Well, that's a good question. I'm more about the risk right
yep.
now. And
yep.
If you're interested in finding out more about what your cybersecurity risk looks like, give us a call and we can help out with that.
What's the phone number?
952-279-2424.
And the website one more time?
It's SOL-IS.com.
Excellent. All right. This is Chamber Chat, and Jane will be back again next month, third Tuesday of every month, with another amazing member of the Northfield business community. So thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you guys again next month.